Today's daf in Masechet Murah is daf Chof Vav, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Chof Hei Amud Beit. Are you guys able to hear? Very good. So, the Halakha Mishnah begins like this. Harei zo tmurat olah tmurat shlamim. You will recall that yesterday we had the question of what we would do legabe tvot lashon rishon. Because we had over there the machlokas, the first machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. And the question over there was about a vlad. You said the vlad should be a shlamim, and you said a vlad should be an eila. So what were you trying to say? So over there we found our first indication of Rabbi Meir Shita, that we always say tfos lashon rishon. The moment that you said the first thing, we process that, and then we move on to the second one. But if we can't process the same thing, so over there, if the vlad is supposed to be one thing and the mother is supposed to be another thing, if you said it in the wrong order, and you said the mother should be the shlamim, you can't make the vlad an ayla because it was already too late. That's what Rabbi Meir held. Rabbi Yossi said, no, if you can't say two things at once, then we don't process them and one after the other. We process them as if they are interdependent. Now today, we have a Mishnah that tells us a further implication of that machlokas. So if somebody says two things which are apparently contradictory, he's saying, obviously he's talking about that he has two animals in front of him. He has three animals. He has one Eila, and he has one Shlami, and then he has a Chulin animal. And he's saying that this chulin animal should be a tmura for an eila, should be a tmura for the shlami. So according to Rabbi Meir, says tfos lashon rishon, the moment that he gave the kedusha of tmuras eila, it's too late now. He can't make it a tmura shlami. So says Rabbi Meir, and so too Rabbi Yossi Amar, im lechein niskavin techila, hoel v'yev shal likrot shtei shemot kachat, dvarav kayami. So just like Rabbi Yossi said yesterday, since you can't say the two things simultaneously, therefore we do not process them linearly. We look at them as being interdependent statements. And therefore, this animal of Chulin is a mixed kedusha of Tmuras Eila and Tmuras Shlami. What do? We wait until it gets Hamum, we sell it, and we use half of the money for buying an Eila and half of the money for buying a Shlami. If, however, he changed his mind after he first said Tmura Seila, and then he was trying to say, no, I mean Tmura Shlamim, then again, as we saw yesterday, even if it's Toch Kedei Dibur, Rabbi Yossi is made that there, of course, we first process the first statement. In which case, over here, Arezu Tmurat Ola. So then everything would be fine. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yossi Om Rabbi Yochanan. So now, the question is, what would be if you openly stated that you want it to be linearly processed? So in other words, let's say you said, Hakomodi, ba'omer tocholzo. Let's say you said, I want this first to be a tmuras eila, and then to be a tmuras shlami. And obviously, everybody is made that if part of the statement was that it's meant to be tvos loshen rishon, which is basically what this is saying, that you should process it in linear order. So then Rabbi Yossi is also made that. And once it becomes a tmura seila, it can't become a shlomi. So then divrei hakol tvos loshen rishon. How about if you make a beferish a condition that the two dinim are interrelated? Let's say you say, I do not want this to be a tumurat ola unless it can also be a tumurat shlamim. So then obviously even Rabbi Meir is made it, that there you have an interrelated statement, and we certainly would not process it in linear order. So if you say lo tachol zo ela im ken chol tazo, everybody is made it, that it becomes tarvayu kachetz, both a tumurat seila and a tumurat shlamim. Where is the machlokas? The machlokas is only as per the case in our Mishnah. Ela kagon mishnatena. Where over there, he said a full statement twice. He said, Tumurat Ola, Tumurat Shlomim. So Rabbi Meir says, look, if you were really trying to say two interrelated statements, why would you not just use the conjunctive and? There should be a Tumuras Ola and Shlomim. Why don't you start the statement over again? There should be a Tumuras Ola, it should be a Tumuras Shlomim. I mean, that's not the way you're trying to say an interdependent thing. You're saying two separate statements. And therefore, since you should have said, Benavile Lameimar, Tumurat Ola Vishlami, and instead you said Tumurat Ola Tumurat Shlami, then for all intents and purposes, it boils down to saying, Avile Ka Omer, first Tachozo, first let it be a Tumuras Ola, and then let it be a Tumurat Shlami. And you said that there's no question that in such a case, of course, we will process it in linear fashion. Whereas Rabbi Yossi feels that the guy must be thinking to himself, I can't do that. Because if I'll do that, of course his natural inclination is to say, let this be a Tumuras Ola and a Shlomi. But the guy thinks to himself, mistakenly, that if I would do that, then Havamina Kedoshevena Kreva. Since I know there's no such animal which would have a half Kedusha Zoyla and a half Kedusha Shlomi, so he is afraid that the Chachomi would say, in that case, it doesn't really have the normal Kedusha. You can't use it for the Mizbeach. Now, that's not true. If he had said that, we, in fact, would have sold it. We would have used the money to buy a complete Zoyla and a complete Shlomi. But this guy is not stupid, because what he's thinking is, and we're going to see this later on in the Gemara, that there really is a basis for thinking this, that since if I would make the same mixed kedusha on an animal, I would be unable to bring that animal, so then that means that the keyach of the kedusha of the tumura is a kedusha dechuya, because it would be coming from an animal, I'm saying half of this and half of that, so I can't be makriv such a korban. Then maybe there's no way to use even that money for a carbon if you hold a dichui. That's what the guy is thinking. So therefore he says, look, I wanted to have the full kedusha of a tmuras eila that could be karev, while simultaneously having the full kedusha of a shlamim, and therefore in that case it won't be from a kedusha dichuya. I'll be able to sell it after it gets a mum and use the money, which is precisely what we do, says Rabbi Yossi. That explains the psychology of not using the conjunctive. And therefore, kamash malan, that this would be the halacha. So let's take a look at the bright. Tana Rabbana. Ha'omer beheima zo chetzia tumurat ola, v'chetzia tumurat shlamim. How about if he speaks out the idea that he wants it to be a half and half thing? Rabbi Meir says that in that case, we still say that we should process it linearly. What would be the din if you said half of an animal should be an oila? What's the halacha? Halacha is poshta kedusha bekula. Because everybody is made that if you say half, obviously the animal cannot survive with half of it's gone. And that means that half is a dover shana shamat luyabo. And all of the shitas were made that on a dover shana shamat luyabo, we say that the kedusha spreads across the entire animal. Therefore, says Rabbi Meir, the moment you say half of it should be an oila, the thing is nitfas with Kedusha's oila, and there's no further issue about the question of the shlamim. There's no place for the shlamim to be chal. And therefore, it's typically what Rabbi Meir says. Now, you must understand that this certainly seems to be an absolute contradiction to what we just said a minute ago. Isn't that so? A minute ago we said that even Rabbi Meir is made that if you make it very clear at the onset that you do not want this to be a standard interpretation, to be, let's say you say, lo tachol zeh, ela im kein chal zeh, right? That in that case, the halacha would be that, of course, Rabbi Meir would be made of. So isn't saying, I want this to be half, means, and I'm going to tell you what the other half is, right? So in other words, Rabbi Meir should be made of, and in that case, he is essentially telling us that he wants us to understand that he does not mean for you to go ahead and to process it first with one and then with the other. So this is direct contradiction to the Pirush that we just said a moment ago. Tosfos asks this question. What is the Gemara thinking? We've given up on what we said two lines before. So Tosfos says like this, that the point that we said before, what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that we would actually have said, if he wouldn't have said, if he would have said it with a vav, that Rabbi Meir would agree, and certainly chetzi chetzi is the same thing as saying it with a vav. The Tosfos says that Rabbi Yochanan actually holds himself that we always will go with the Tfos Lashon Rishon unless there's a reason for us to need and to search out a basis for seeing it as one thing. So all Rabbi Yochanan was saying is, look, the Mishnah is a cuckoo case because generally speaking, people don't say contradictions in the same breath. How can a guy say it should be a tumuras ayla tumuras shlamim? Is he crazy? So therefore, we have to think, doesn't Rabbi Meir see that itself? The very fact that the guy is saying two statements that contradict each other. Wouldn't Rabbi Meir see himself that? I mean, obviously the guy is trying to say what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan was coming to say that the reason that Rabbi Meir, despite the fact that there is a strong indication that he actually wants us to process these statements simultaneously, nonetheless, Rabbi Meir holds that even in that case, I do not. Why? That's where Rabbi Yochanan added. Why? Because if truly he wanted us to do it simultaneously, he would have said the vav, not the tmurah sayla tmurah shlamim, you see? But if there hadn't been any such indication, bichlal, so Rabbi Yochanan was not saying, look, Rabbi Meir is not normally going to say tfos lashon rishon. He's only saying tfos lashon rishon because you did something cuckoo. No, that's not what he was saying. He was saying that even in a case where we should question our assumption of tfos lashon rishon, and we need to explain, so why would Rabbi Yochanan say even in this case? Because remember, normally Rabbi Meir is the shita that says that if a person says something that makes no sense, ein adam motzi dvarav levatala, correct? That's Rabbi Meir's shita. And we have to read an interpretation into it. So why don't we read an interpretation that this guy is not crazy and he didn't say tumura sayla tumura shlamim levatala, and he wanted us to think it out that that's what he wants us to have simultaneously. So Rabbi Yochanan gave an additional reason why even so Rabbi Meir would say tfos lashon rishon. But he certainly did not mean to say that the only reason Rabbi Meir says tfos lashon rishon is because he should have used the vav. That's not the point. Therefore, over here, Rabbi Meir still says tfos lashon rishon, even though he says chetzi chetzi. The bottom line is that if you hold of tfos lashon rishon, we will first do what chetzi ola means. And chetzi ola means that it's too late for the guy to say, I don't care that he meant it. The bottom line is, once it becomes with a dover shanashama tuliyabo, which is half of the animal, once it becomes an ola, the whole animal becomes an ola. So I understand that he would like it to be a shlamim also, but tough for him, there's nothing we can do. Because the din of pashta occurs immediately. That's all the Rebbe Meir is saying. That's how Tosfos explains it. The Chachamim say, well, no. I mean, why don't you wait till it gets a mum and then sell it? You can use the money for half of an ayla and half a shlamim. Half of the money goes to Naila, you buy cheaper ayla. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Now, this is really weird because Rabbi Yossi then suddenly comes up with this idea that in the kachas kavin mitchila, that's what we just said. That's what the Rabbanan who argued and Rabbi Meir just said. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Haina Rabbanan. You're just repeating what the Rabbanan said. Yes, yes. That's what it's saying. The Rabbanan, what is this for of the Rabbanan? Omer Rabbi Yossi, because the Rabbanan is Rabbi Yossi. Kula Rabbi Yossi, Katanila. Rabbi Yossi said this over. Therefore, he says his shita as the Rabbanan. And then the explanation of the Shita of the Rabbanan is Rabbi Yossi's Sfar that we've seen all along in the Mishnah. Now, there's another Braita that also talks about the din of chetzi chetzi. Not in the context of a tmura, but stam, a guy takes a chulin animal. He says, I want this behemoth to be chetzia oila and chetzia chatas. So now clearly there's a little bit of a problem because a normal chatas is a nekeva and a normal oila is a zachar. So how could an animal be half an oila and half a shlomi? Some suggest he says it should be a chatas nasi. Okay, but whatever the case is, what's important to us is the yisod. And that is, Rabbi Meir here too says, well, the moment he said chetzi oila, it became an oila kulay. And therefore, tikkur of oila, and there's no element of chatas to it at all. Rabbi Yossi says, no, since half of it is a chatas, and now here's how Rashi learns, and this guy is not chayev a chatas, so it is the equivalent of a chatas without an owner, because there's no owner who's chayav a chatas, and therefore it becomes the equivalent of a chatas where mesu ba'aleh. And if a chatas mesu ba'aleh, it has to be tamut. Therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, since half of it has to be allowed to die, you obviously can't use the other half either. And therefore, tamut. Therefore, it has to die. Now, Tosfos says this makes absolutely no sense. Why? Because the Gemara says elsewhere that if someone who wasn't chayav a chatas says that this animal should be a chatas, nothing happens. The kedusha isn't chal at all because he cannot create a chatas that he is not mechuyav. So it can't be talking about that. Therefore, Tosfos learns that, not like Rashi, that even though the Braita says behema, it actually was saying exactly the same case as the previous Braita, and it was talking about the Tumura, not that it was trying to make the original Kiddush. Okay. In any event, Rabbi Yossi Amar Tamud, because of the issue of Chata Shemesu Baalea. Now, the point is, though, that they agree, and this is going to be the whole issue that we're about to discuss. They agree that if he said Chetzia Chatas VeChetzia Oila, that then for sure there is in it something which is tamut. If you said first chetzi chatas, Rabbi Meir also holds that it has to die. Now, when you say shoving, everybody agrees. Who is the person that is meant to agree over here? Shoving money. Who? I mean, obviously it's got to be Rabbi Meir. He's the one that was arguing with Rabbi Yossi, right? And you're telling me that they agree, meaning Rabbi Meir agrees that even though I said in the first case where first you said oila, that becomes an oila, in this case, if you mention the chatas and then the oila, then I agree with you, it has to be tamut. I mean, it's a little bit weird, isn't it? Because, I mean, if you reverse the order, then Rabbi Meir would hold more than Rabbi Yossi. What do you mean he agrees to Rabbi Yossi? If Rabbi Yossi says, even if it's only half of a chatas, that's mesa, it's mesa. So you're telling me Rabbi Meir would agree if we reverse the order that it's entirely a chatas amesa, it's mesa. I mean, I understand. According to Rabbi Meir, if we say tvos lashon rishon, then it's entirely a chatas amesa. So it's weird to tell me, and Rabbi Meir would agree. It's not that he agrees. It's that he says it even worse than Rabbi Meir, than Rabbi Yossi says it. He says it more pshita. No, I'll tell you, there's another issue over here. I might have thought, if I hadn't said this, I might have thought, Ma'adatema, Ilav Dashmin, if I wouldn't have explained this to you in the Braita, you might have made a very fundamental mistake in understanding Rabbi Meir. And you might have thought that it's not that Rabbi Meir, throughout this issue, is concerned with Tfos Lashon Rishon. That's not the point. Time of the Rabbi Meir is Lav Mishum Tfos Lashon Rishon. But actually, Rabbi Meir holds Hainu Taima, the reason that he says that it would be a chatzi oila and a chatzi chatas, not kula oila. And the only reason that he says it has to be kula oila is because he holds that if you mix a kedusha of a chatas and it's mu'urevet with another kedusha, it is still ro'ui to be brought on the mizbeach. Therefore, the part, I agree with Rabbi Yossi, it's both a chatas abesa and an oila. But I argue about a different yisod. I say that if something has in it a chelik of kedusha that is able to be brought on the mizbeach, so then we don't worry about the fact that there's elements in it that themselves would not have been able to bring on the mizbeach. Bring it for the kayach of the thing that it is useful for. And therefore, even if he would have said first, chetzer chatas, and then he would have said chetzer oila in the other direction, he also would have said that it should be brought. Therefore, I need to talk out to you that no, it depends what you said first, because the entire meaning of Rebbe Meir is not because he holds chatas murevet is kreva, it's because he holds tvos loshen rishon, and only because he holds tvos loshen rishon. Kamashma and the low has nothing to do with Chatas Mureva's grave. You want me to drink coffee? Are you passing me coffee through the screen? No? You just want me to drink. You're not ready. I should go get my own coffee. It's not your problem. You're just a reminder. Okay. I understand. I never expected you to update to the latest Skype anyway. I know you're always behind a little bit.
Rebbe, he still has the canteen syndrome.
I know, I see it. And he still claims I owe him money, too. That's the crazy thing. It's 50 years later, you know, and I owe him money. And I keep telling him, I'm ready to pay any bill. Just present the bill. I don't want to die without paying his debt to the canteen. I don't know. He wants to keep me over the barrel. All right. Fine. Tanya Idach. Now, thanks for the reminder, Barnett. Tanya Idach. Now we have another price. So what if you would say, Be'ema zo chetzya ola v'chetzya shlamim. The idea over there is that it's kadosh, so it gets its kedusha, and I can't bring it on the mizbeach the way that it is, because it's neither one nor the other. And there's no such thing as a behema, which is an ola slash shlamim. So I can't bring it, right? Now, nonetheless, it will make a tumura. So in other words, even though it's a kedusha that can't be brought on the mizbeach, it makes a tumura. If you say, bring another chulin animal, you say this animal should be in place of this one. And that tumura is also the same as it. It can't be brought as it is. It can only be sold with the mum, and then you can use the money to buy those two different karma. Now, I mean, first of all, let's clarify one thing. Who is the author of this bright? I mean, it's obviously not Rebbe Meir. Right, so money, it's got to be Rebbe Yossi, right? Because Rebbe Yossi says we don't say Tvos Loshen Rishon. Instead, we say the guy meant exactly what he said. He wants it to be both things that he's saying. So then I don't understand. I mean, don't I know on my own that according to Rebbe Yossi, that if you've got a mixed Kedusha, you're not going to be able to bring it on the Mizbeach because there's no such thing as an Eilat Shlomim. So what would I do with it? So Pshita the Kedusha Veino Kreva. I don't need a Braita to teach me that. No, that's of course I don't need a brayta to teach me that. It's the last part that I need. The last part is the din about the tumura that I might have thought. I'll tell you what I might have thought. If you hadn't said that it can make a tumura and that the tumura gets the same din, I would have said like this. That ma'adatema nehi dehilo karva. It's all very nice to say that the original animal, which is an oila shlami, okay, it can't be brought. There's no such thing as an oila shlami. But maybe the tumura could be brought. Tumurata krova, kamash malan, that maishna hidalo karva. The reason that I can't bring the first animal is because some of it is a kedusha dechuya. In other words, I can't bring its chetzi ela because the fact that the other half of the shlamim does not allow me to put it up on top of the mizbeach and burn like an ela because it's a shlamim, and vice versa. I can't bring it as a shlamim and then say, well, what about the other parts? So the oila doesn't allow me to be makrivit as a shlamim. Therefore, each part of it is a kedusha dechuya. If that's the case, then the tumura is coming mikayach kedusha dechuya, and there would be no way for me to be able to do that. Now, the question is, I mean, why the heck would I have thought, without this svara of kedusha dechuya, where would I come up with the idea that the tumura would be different than the original? He's doing it again, Naftali. Well, the tumura is different than the original. And there's no... I'm sorry. I know it's scary. It's not shtick, though. It's just because I care, really. So it should be exactly the same without this svara of Kedusha Techuya. You make a Temurah, Temurah is always what the original animal was. I mean, like, where in the world would we get a Hava Mina that we should treat it differently than the original? I mean, it's like any other Temurah, right? So Tosus asks this Kashi, what in the world does this mean? So he says, because I would have thought that if a guy is making a Temurah, he didn't mean, I want this Temurah to be half and half the way the original was. He meant to make the Temurah for the half that was Oila, or the Temurah for the half that Shlomi. And of course, if that would be the case, then it would be Kulay Oila or Kulay Shlomi, right? That's what I would have thought. And therefore, I would have thought, okay, so then the whole thing should be Kadosh, and it's fine. Kamash Malan, even if that's his intention, it's not fine. Because the basis of the Kedusha that creates the Shlomim is ipso facto a Kedusha Dechuya. And therefore, even if it would be talking about the entire Kedusha of the Oila, but since I cannot bring that carbon as an Oila, I won't be able to bring the Temurah, even if the Temurah is entirely an Oila. That's the point that the Gemara is making according to Tosfos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Suppose you have an animal that is owned by two partners. It's a behemah shel shnei shutafim. One guy, one of the partners, is magdish his half. Now, when he's magdish his half, can I bring that animal as a korban? No. Why? Because it's not in my hands to bring the other half. And therefore, essentially, all I can do is give the value of half of the animal for the Mizbeach. But currently, that animal and the Kedusha of the Oila that I'm trying to put on it is a Kedusha Dechuya, because there's no way for me to bring it on the Mizbeach because I don't own the other half. I can't bring my half on the Mizbeach, correct? Therefore, Tainas Reb Yochanan, and you see how this follows directly from the case that we just spoke about of Kedusha Dechuya, particularly the way Tosis explained it, that even if now you turn around and you buy out the other partner in order to be able to be magdish the entire thing as an Oila, so you were chazav a luka chetzia achera as v'ignisha, you bought out your partner and you were magdish the other half, even though the animal is completely kodesh at that point, it cannot be brought as a carbon ever. But it can make a tmura. And the Temurah is indeed Kiyotseba, because this is exactly the same case as the one that we just had. But by putting it this way, Rabbi Yochanan teaches us three very important dinim. Number one, Shema Mina Tlat, three things. Number one, Shema Mina Kedushat Damim Nidche. You might have thought that the only time we have a concept of Kedusha Dechuya is where there is a full Kedushat Haguf, which I am unable to use. So over there we say, okay, this Kedusha Haguf, since the body was meant to be placed on the Mizbeach, and there's something wrong with it, I understand that the Mizbeach doesn't want to see it again. But if only the value of the thing was Kodesh for the Mizbeach, which is the case over here, isn't that true? If I gave a half of an animal, obviously it's all its value that is being given to the Mizbeach. I don't believe it. Now what? So only, I wish we could figure out who does this. So only the value of it is kadosh for the Mizbeach, not to be confused with Kedushas Bedek HaBayit. Normally, Kedushas Domi means Kedushas Bedek HaBayit, Moshe. In this case, we mean Kedushas Domi for the Mizbeach. Now, I would have thought, look, the fact that the value is Kadosh, I mean, is irrelevant to the idea of Dichui, isn't it? Because, I mean, value is just an abstraction. It's not the actual body. So why would the Mizbeach say, well, I don't want to see or hear from you again. If I couldn't have had you in the first place, I don't want you now. What is you? It's just value. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying that even though the initial Kedusha could only be interpreted as Kedusha's Damim, because there is no way that you can possibly give a Kedushas Haguf to a half an animal, unless, of course, you own the whole animal, and then it will all entirely become Kedusha. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yochanan says that the Mizbeach says, I don't want to hear from you again because once you were Dochu, you remain Dochu. So what do you see from that? That even Kedushas Domim is Nitcha. Next. Shema Amina. The second very important implication was the subject of a machlokas that we had earlier. Is a living animal considered to be Nitcha, or is the very fact that life is a continuously developing, fluctuating reality mean that the concept of Dichui cannot apply to it? I understand that a piece of meat can be Dichui, but how can a living being be Dichui? No. You see from here that even a Baal Chai, Shmamina Baal Chayim Nidachim. That's your second important indication. And your third limud is another very subtle point, and that is, how does Dichui work? There are two shitas about Dichui. One shita is that Dichui me'ikara have a Dichui. The other shita is that only nir'ev nitche is Dichui. Meaning, something which at the time that I attempted to make it usable was not usable for some reason, and therefore never attained a state of Kedusha. Is that considered to be a Dichui, or is that basically a delay? If something was already Kadosh, and then it became Nifsal, and now we try to make it Kadosh again, and the Mizbeach says, hold on a minute. I've already seen this guy. He was supposed to be brought on as a korban, and this happened to him. I don't want to hear from it again. That I understand. That once something is Nira, obviously it can be Nitcha. But to say that even though it never was in a position of being usable in the first place, it remains permanently unusable, that is a very big extension of the concept of Dichui. And therefore, I might have thought that in this case, since initially it wasn't usable, it's a Dichui Mi'ikara, and therefore it doesn't count. No, comes along Rabbi Yochanan to say a third thing that's very important, and that is that even Dichui Mi'ikara have a Dichui. Okay, this is an important thing to understand in the context of the discussion that we just had, the Gabi Tumura. Omer Abaye, Hakol Modim, come on, Shas boys, let's go. Where's your brother? Hakol Modim, Hecha Diomar Chetzia Eila, Vechetzia Ma'aser. Everybody agrees that in a case where you say, I want half of this animal to be an Eila and I want half of it to be a Ma'aser Be'ema. Now, here too, Tosfos Tainis, it's ridiculous to make to say something should be Maaser. How can you possibly understand like Rashi that a guy is trying to give Kedushas Maaser Behema where he never did the act of counting the Behema, and it doesn't make any sense. Therefore, according to Tosfos, what we're talking about is no, the guy is actually in the process of making that count. And now he says, the 10th one should be, however, half of it should be an oila. Only half of it should be the Maaser Behema when it comes out. That's the case. Okay. In that case, even Rabbi Yossi is made that it's entirely an oila and not a Maaser. Even though Rabbi Yossi normally holds that we say it's half and half, in this case, he says, your statement is meaningless because that which creates Maaser is not up to your statement at all. It's up to which one comes out as number 10. And therefore, effectively, we ignore your statement. Who cares if you called it a Maaser? Therefore, in this case, if you said this animal is supposed to be an oila, it's an oila. But, continues now Abaye, but, Hechdamer Chetz a Tmura v'chetz a Maaser. How about where he said half of it is supposed to be a Tmura and half of it is supposed to be Maaser? What's the din? Now, again, Rashi has a very, very strange explanation of this circuit. Rashi learns like this. The tmura that we're talking about over here, the guy does not have an animal in front of him and make a tmura. The maaser that we're talking about over here, the guy is not in the process of counting animals and making an actual maaser. And therefore, wherever we have half of a statement that is just silly, what do you mean, tmura? There ain't no such animal as a tmura. What do you mean, it's an oila and a tmura? Silly. It's an oila and a maaser. That's silly. So therefore, we only focus on the part of the statement that adds up. Abaye wants to know, and Tosfos says, this is nutty. Abaye wants to know, what if both parts of the statement were nonsensical? If both parts of the statement are nonsensical, why are we questioning anything? Then nothing should happen. So what are you saying? If it should be half of a tumura and half of a miser, it's neither of them, for God's sake. And yet Rashi says, continues the Gemara, should we say that it's more likely for it to be a tumura because at least you can make a tumura on any type of carbon? And of course, you can't make miser on any type of carbon. You can only make miser if something that is chulin. There is no din of miser behema on kachim. Or do we say no, but actually, there's something unique about ma'aser. It has a stronger kedusha, because remember, if you call number 9-10, you call number 11-10, in all of those cases, you can extend the kedusha as miser, and therefore miser is more chomer. And because of that, we should go according to the one that is more chomer, that's miser. Take, Tosa says, what? How in the world could you possibly learn this circuit? If both of them don't make any sense, why putting the two together do we suddenly have to actually pretend that it does make sense? Okay, so Tosis learns. And of course, if I is talking about a guy who is counting his animals and they're coming out, right? He's just saying that when it comes out, he wants it also to be a chatziyola, not to be only a chatzi shlamim. The same thing of a chatzi tmura. The guy, of course, is able to make the tmura. So the question is, what if you said that the 10th animal that's going to come out, it should be half maaser behema and half a tmura for this animal that I have? What's the stronger kedusha in that case? Okay, fine. That's comprehensible. And now we have Sir Richard, who has had to move into my home, allowing his own home to be used by his children with nary a thank you. He's sitting there on my porch. I mean, it's outrageous. Yes, indeed.
It's cold and it's raining. It's just great Herschler weather.
Beautiful, just beautiful. So we missed our Tisha B'Av Ursula.
Yeah, back to the, what do you call it? Zook the Halakha Mishnah.
Now, says the Mishnah. Thank you, Sir Richard. Which, will you straighten my tablecloth, please? If you're going to use my table, at least keep it good. Now, thank you. So, how many times have I straightened that tablecloth, Rich? So now, what type of language is considered to be a language of Tmura? Remember that there's two very similar things that have totally different halachas. One of them is the din of Tmura, in which there's this magical concept of attempting to be teifes, the kedusha of a behemat schulin, with the kedusha that exists currently in some carbon that you have. And then there exists a very similar idea of taking off the kedusha from your behema, if it was a balmum, and transferring it onto another animal or a coin or whatever, which is called pidyon. Now, those seem to be exactly the same thing. For some reason, the Torah said, if you do it in a way which is switching, then it's a big issur, your chayim malchus, and both of them are going to remain kosher. If you do it in a lashon of transferring, then that's fine. That's a typical pidyon, and everybody's happy. There's no problem. And Benson takes the money to the bank. There's no always. It's always the lawyer who takes the money to the bank, obviously. But in this case, hare zo tachat zo. So let's say a guy uses a language of, I have this animal of chulin, and I want this animal to be in place of animal A, which was kodesh. Or he says, I want this animal to be a tumura of this animal. Or I want to be chalifa. I want it to be a straight exchange for this animal. All of those lishonot are lishonot of tumura. Again, tachat, tumura, chalifa. All are the same. They have a din of tumura. But if he has the second animal and he says, this one should be mechulelet also, I want to actually take the kedusha and de-kodosh it, de-consecrate it, right? So I wanted to make it cholul on this animal. That's not a tumura. That's fine. That is a regular pinyon. If it was a balmum, Imaya Hegdesh Bamum, then it would actually work. And it would be Yotzi L'chulin. It becomes chulin, and the animal that you wanted to use to be the recipient of the Kedusha becomes Kedush. Great. V'tzorich la'asod damim, if l'maisa, it was a less valuable animal, you'd have to make up the money, but the chila would still be chal. So let's say the animal that you're using to be mechal is only worth 50% of the original animal that you had, this beautiful oila, now you've got this cheapo animal. It's still going to work, because remember, the din is that even if you're mechal hegdash, shava mana on a pruta, it works. It's a good chila, but you owe hegdash the difference. So you will have to add the missing cash. Tzarech la'asod damim. Now, there's only one word in our Mishnah that the Gemara doesn't like, and that is the word tachat. Tachat means instead, but I mean, instead could just as easily mean an actual chil, no? I mean, you're saying that tachat has to mean lishna de atfuse. Atfuse means I want to use the kedusha of one to make this one also kodesh, which is the concept of tumura. Is that true? V'raminu, how are you going to explain this brayta? Kodshei berek habayit, in a case where you have berek habayit. Now, is there such a thing as tumura on berek habayit? No. We saw that before. We derish it actually from the pasuk. There's no din of tumura on berek habayit. So, if you went ahead and tried to make a tumura on a berek habayit, you took an animal and you say, this animal should be the tumura of this car that is owned by berek habayit. Nothing. If you say, this animal should be the pidyon for this car that's owned by berek habayit, that's fine. Then the car, barnea, then the car becomes chol, and the animal becomes kadesh, because that is chilol, and chilol works, of course, for berek habayit. Now, it says over there that if you have kodshei berek habayit, and you use the lashon of, this should be tmuras zu, this should be chalipin zu, the din is lo amaklum. It's a nonsensical statement, because there is no way to make a tmura with the lashon of tmura, with the lashon of chalipa. There's no way to make a tmura on berek habayit, and you were just talking nonsense, okay? But if you said arezu tachatzu, then it works as chilul. Aha! Dvar of kayamim. Now, I mean, that proves conclusively, does it not, that tachat is the opposite of chalipin and tmura. Because isak adaitach lishna det fusehi, if you're going to tell me that the word tachat means also that I want to use this kedusha and put it onto here, and not that I want to be mechalal it, so then mashna resha, mashna sefer, what's the difference between the lashon of chalipin, tumura, or tachat? So obviously tachat does not fit the set of lashonos that are tumura mashma'ut. So how the heck do you come along now to tell me in our Mishnah that tachat is a lashon of tumura? It makes absolutely no sense. You can't have it both ways. Omar Abaye, says Abaye, you can have it both ways. Why? Contextuality, for God's sake. What are you asking? Doesn't it make a difference in the context of how you're using it? So the truth is, I'll show you from the actual psukim that the word tachat sometimes means in place of, in the sense of the chilul, and tachat sometimes means maintaining the same situation, utilizing that which was before. Take a look, says Abaya. Tachat, we find it sometimes being used as a lishna datfuse, where it continues to maintain the level of its presence as before, which is a tmura idea. I want to keep this kedusha and spread it onto here. But we also find that tachat is in place of, which is a lashon of chilul. Where? Well, take a look. It's a lishna datfuse. We definitely find it as investing, that is to say, maintaining the kedusha that was there. Where do we find that? Well, when it comes to looking at a mum, it says, "Ve'im tachteha ta'amod ha-baheret." If the baheret keeps on hanging on to its place, that's a lashon of itfusi, right? But it also can mean it's taking off the achule, and that's in the haftarah coming up. Tachat ha-nechoshet avizav. So, what does that mean? In exchange of, in place of it, And if more, I'm not exchange, but in place. In other words, I'm taking off the kedusha. I'm taking, instead of the nechoshet, I'm using gold. So that means that it can also be a lashon of chila. Therefore, look at the context. That's what's going to define it. If you're talking about God, where we can understand that there is a meaningful usage of a tfuse, there it means a lashon of tamura. If you're tzotz lashon dat fusehu, mashenke gabe kachim bedek habayit, where there's no concept of making a tamura, the lo avdin tamura, it's got to mean that the guy is using it in the context of achule, which is much more reasonable. That's the explanation. Says Rava, now wait a minute. You are oversimplifying. I certainly agree that contextuality, remember, this is one of Rava's favorite things, which is contextuality. Rava is always the one who says, Gabi X, it means this, Gabi Y, it means that. This classic Rava. So Rava wants to add over here the details of the contextual awareness. So he says like this. You could say even B'tkotche Mizbeach that this lashon of tachat would mean a lashon of chil. For instance, if you are with a carbon that has a mum on it, okay? Kagon shaya egdesh baal mum. So over there, we're certainly going to understand what you're saying as wanting to do what any normal person does with a baal mum. He brings to you this other animal. He says, I want to be mechalal, this animal and that animal. Why in the world would I say that the only thing to take into consideration is whether it's kachim bedek habayis or whether it's kachim mizbeach? Even if it's kachim mizbeach with a baal mum, it certainly is a place for me to be doing chilul and not to be doing tamura. I'd have to be crazy to do tamura. I mean, all I'll do is be mechayev myself malchus and end up with two korbanos that are going to be kadosh. That's stupid. So of course I'll explain that contextually what the guy is doing a chilul. Amar Rav Ashi, that's not enough, Rava man. There's actually greater detail involved in the contextuality. You know what? The contextuality is ad kedei kach, needs to take into consideration your body language. And your body language will define what it is that you mean. That's the point. Because even if you have kachet mizbeach, which is a baal mum, and you're saying, okay, so then why would I think, if he's got a baal mum, why would I think that he's being Isaac in Tamura? I'll tell you that it's possible, even in that case, to think that he's Tamura. Why? Because even if it's a baal mum, we can contextually define it sometimes as a lishna da achule, and sometimes as a lishna da tfuse, believe it or not. Now, let me show you why I say that. If the guy is putting his hand on the kodesh, right? So then what he's trying to do is change the status of the animal that's kodesh. So then when he says this, with his hand on the kedusha, this should be tachat zu, even though he's referring to the other one, then what he's saying is, I want the status of kedusha on this animal to be removed. So in that case, it becomes chol. But if he's got his hand on the chol animal, and he says, I want this animal to have the kedusha of that animal, then that means that the essential thing that he's focusing on is making the kedusha, not removing the kedusha. So his whole body language is talking tamura. That's the point. So if he says tachat in that case, then the chulin animal and the kodesh animal will be kodesh. Why? Because that's a tamura. Again, the point over here is, what is your subconscious focus? If you're trying to do a pidyon, your focus is not on the animal that you're doing the pidyon on. Your focus is on the animal that you're doing the pidyon to. You're trying to remove the kedusha from the animal, and therefore, subconsciously, you will put your hand on the actual item that you are trying to impact. Mashenkin, if you're doing a tamura, your whole focus is on being able to get the kedusha of the original animal onto this new animal. So subconsciously, you're putting your hand on the animal that you want to be the essential effective agent over here. So if that's the point, you clearly are still doing a tamura. Ad kedei kach, says Rav Ashi, The contextuality is even a function of your body language. Lovely. Okay. Now everybody is ready for that review, and the boys aren't going to let Saba get away with murder. Stop him. Stop him before he turns off the screen. Hurry. He's about to shut. No, don't let him shut down. Boys, help. No, no, stop him. Ah! Nothing works. Ah, he's there. It does work. Bye, guys. Yeah, I think it's very good when Benson brings the kids. Very, very good. Okay. Oh, Sir Richard, we're ready for review, Sir Richard. And we'll start from our Mishnah. Now, wait a minute there, Sir Richard. Hold on, hold on. Can you please show us your cup? I want to see that cup. I think you've got a mumin cup. Uh-huh. Now, I'm in competition with Richard. Now, Richie, you'll notice that your mumin cup is basically sleeping, okay? My mumin cup is basically learning the daf yomi. Look at the difference. If you're talking about contextuality.
My mumin is very lazy.
Yeah, exactly.
It is in a black mood. That's, you know, it's definitely speaks.
Rebbe, I got a message from Barnea. He wanted me to tell his research found mumim love kudshim.
Very cute. Oh, Richie, I got to tell you another one. It's absolutely amazing. We had a crazy thing last year. We bought this grape juice, kosher grape juice in Finland, and the kosher grape juice had a heksher on it, which was translated to guarantee that this grape juice is free of foreskins. Because they translated Orla to be Orla, right? Unbelievable. Yesterday, Richie, I bought a Swedish brand of cream cheese. Okay? I got to show it to you. Hold on.
A Swedish brand of cream cheese.
Shopping at IKEA again.
Yeah, you've got to wonder where this is going.
Sorry, I made a mistake. It's a Danish brand of cream cheese. Well, look at the brand name.
Grina Schmenet Arla. That's a Swedish company, yeah.
Arla.
Arla.
These guys seem to have a very strange focus. All right. Anyway, couldn't resist. So let us start our review. And we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Chaf Yomid Beis. Harezu tumurat ola tumurat shlamim. Harezu tumurat ola divirgi meir. Omer Rabbi Yossi im lakach niskaven techila ho v'yev shalik rot shtesh yomot yachad v'orav kayamim. V'im misha amar tumurat ola nimlach v'amar tumurat shlamim. Then harezu tumurat ola. Then, of course, Tavaira Kach, it's the equivalent of Aimer Tacholzo Vyakar Tacholzo. Was Rabbi Yossi Savar? The guy figures that Yomar to Marcelo Shlomim, he thought, Havamina Kedosh Vener Kreva Kamashmalan. Kamashmalan doesn't make too much sense. Tonarabana. You take that out even according to the Gra. Tonarabana. Omer Bemezo, Hetziat Muras, Elova Hetziat Muras Shlomim, Kulatikare Vola, Divirabi Meir. The Chachom, Imomim Tira, Achitis Taivet, Yimachabi, Avibid Mechetziat Muras, Elova Mechetziat Muras Shlomim. Isn't that what the Rabbanan just said? Rabbi Yossi, Aina Rabbanan, Kula Rabbi Yossi Katanala. Tanya Idach. Behema chetzi oila v'chetzi chatas tikorav oila de Rebbe Meir. Rashi learns it's talking about Stamba Maschul, and Tosus learns it's talking about a case of Tamura. Rabbi Yossi Amra Tamut, Veshovin, Bomer Chetze Chatz, Chetze Oyla Shetamut, Shovin Money, Rabbi Meir, Pshita, Mao, the Tame, Lavda Shminan, Hava Mina, time the Rabbi Meir, Lamishim Tros, Losh and Rish, and Alina, time of Chatz, Murevis, Kreva, Bafilu Gemma Chetze Chatz, Vadam Chetzele Kreva, Kamash Mulandalo, Tanida Homer Bemazu, Chetzele Chetze Shlomi, Kedosha, Vena Kreva, Vosat Murat, Muratoke, Otsebo, Money, Rabbi Yossi, Pshita, Kedosha, Vena Kreva, Muratai, Strichale, but at least Murata would be Karva Kamash Malan. That as far as Maishna Yida Lo Karva, because it's Kedusha the Chuya, Murata Nami Mikor Kedusha the Chuya Ka Atya. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Be'ima Shoshnei Shutafim Ignish Chetzia Shalom Vechazer Veloka Chetzia Acheres from his partner. And then he was Ignisha. It is Kodesh, but it can never be Kreva. And it makes a Tumura and Tumura Taka Yotzipa. So what do we see? Three things. Shema Amina Tlat. First of all, Shema Amina Kedushas Lamim Nidka. Secondly, Shema Amina that Balei Chayim Nidachim. And Shema Amina Dichui Mikar Avi Dichui. Omer Abaye. Hakom Odin Heich Bamer Chetzia Oila V'Chetzia Maaser. Divrei Hakol Oila Kreva. Heich Bamer Chetzia Tumura V'Chetzia Maaser. What about then? Do we say Tumura Kreva Shkena Eged B'Kol HaKadoshim Odin Maaser Kreva Shkena Magish Lufan V'Lacharav Teku. Says they look at Mishnah Rezo, Tachat. You know what? In fact, I think this is the beginning of a new sugya. We should add it to tomorrow's review. Okie dokie. Wonderful. Have a great day. See you all.